Good morning. Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 22, verse 39 through 46. Then, accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, "Pray that you will not give in to temptation." He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. At last he stood up again and returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray, so that you will not give in to temptation." This is the word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. We continue this sermon series on victorious, how you and I can live a victorious life through the help of a relationship with Almighty God. Last week, Pastor Brian did a great job talking to you about the adversary that we fight against. There is an evil presence in our world, and he did a great job explaining that. In Ephesians chapter 6, we find these words from the Apostle Paul, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places." And Paul goes on to say, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." And these words, Paul says and writes, "And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, the good news of Jesus." Would you pray that for me right now, that I may boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ that's intended for the whole world to hear? Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you that you have called us to this place today and that you have given us the victory through Jesus Christ, that with your help, with your guidance, and through the weapon of prayer, we can be on the winning team, that we will be victorious in the end. Give me the words to speak boldly and give us ears to hear. May your Holy Spirit move in this place today. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the tools we need to be victorious in the spiritual battles that we face. Mary has read for us the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus in the midst of intense spiritual warfare. He could see what is coming. That's very important when we think about prayer and the tool of prayer. You know, we're praying to the one who can see what is coming. As Jesus prays in anguish about what is coming, the divine course has been set. But in his humanity, he is struggling. We believe that Jesus was fully divine and fully human. In his humanity, he's struggling. He's deeply distressed about his approaching death, where he will take upon himself the sins of the whole world. The sins of the whole world, my sins and your sins. And what he was anguishing about, I believe, more than anything, was that in that moment, for the first time, he would be separated from his heavenly Father. Because his Father is holy. Jesus was holy without sin. But when he agreed to take upon himself this penalty, this sin, he would be separated from holy God. And he's anguishing about that. And Paul writes these words in 2 Corinthians, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we can be made right with God through Christ." And not just taking upon the sins of the world, but the curse that comes from the cross. Paul wrote these words to the Galatians, "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" Jesus is anguishing about that decision. And he prays, not once, not twice, but three times for this cup to pass, Father, is there any other way for this plan of yours to be fulfilled? Show it to me. Give me a new direction. And Jesus asked the disciples to do what? To watch and to pray. And what did they do? They slept. They missed what was going on in the garden, the tremendous struggle of Jesus. Now, in the movie, The Passion of the Christ, they so vividly describe what went on in the Garden of Gethsemane. In fact, it's the opening scene of the entire movie, of Jesus wrestling in the garden, anguishing in the garden. But what this movie includes is the presence of evil in the garden. That evil is there in the battle and this spiritual warfare. And I want you to watch this clip. It's a movie, it's a description, but I think it captures the kind of warfare that you and I face that we're not aware of. Watch this. Now, I don't like snakes either. But I think that captures in a dramatic way the unseen rulers of this world, the evil that swirls around us, the mighty powers of this dark world. And what is the purpose of evil? Again, Pastor Brian did a great job of that last week, explaining that to you. If you missed the message, you can go online and look at that. But Jesus described it this way in John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. There's an evil presence in our world that wants to steal, kill, and destroy by preventing God's purpose from being realized. When you and I go out and stand up for God, there's an evil presence that does not want God's purpose to be realized, that wants to keep God from being glorified, that wants to keep lost people from finding hope and salvation, to make human beings and society as miserable as possible through wars and poverty and oppression and greed and racism and violence and crime and fear. Why? Because none of those bring glory to God. And we live in a world where we're in constant battle against the evil in this world. Now, the disciples realized very quickly when the betrayers came to the garden of Gethsemane to arrest Jesus that they were in way over their head. And they couldn't handle what came next. Why? Because they had slept instead of praying. And what happened was, we know they betrayed Jesus. They denied that they ever knew him, and they failed miserably in the garden. There are a lot of times you and I go out into the world, we're going to leave here today, and it won't take long for us to realize that we're in over our head. That there's all kinds of battles that are going to be swirling around us. There's going to be all kinds of temptations that we're going to face. And without prayer, and without a relationship with God, we're in way over our heads. And our greatest weapon, I believe, is prayer. Prayer that prepares, and prayer that is with us in the midst of the struggle. I believe that everything begins and ends with prayer. It begins when we pray that sinner's prayer. Oh Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. I invite you into my life. And it continues for the rest of our life on the planet here, praying for God to give us victory. It's the greatest weapon that we have. You know, more and more medical research from leading hospitals across the U.S. are showing that belief in God and prayer is good for you. I found a study by Dr. Harold Cohen, a doctor at Duke University. Now, you know me being a Kentucky fan, it's hard for me to give any credit to Duke, but let me just give a shout out to Duke University here. And this study that he did, he said studies have shown that prayer can prevent people from getting sick. And when they do get sick, prayer can help them get better faster. The studies indicate that the more people pray, the better mental and physical health they have. He goes on to say, and this is not an advertisement here, but he says 85 out of 125 studies showed there's a link between health and regular worship. In fact, regular churchgoers live longer. Yay, right? Yay, that's right. Yay, we're going to put that on the marquee out here. Come to church and live longer, you know. But the reality is that we have a great weapon, a great help in a relationship with Almighty God. And you're here today because you believe that. You believe that God is the answer to the problems in your life. And how do we access the power of God? It is through prayer and developing this weapon of prayer. So I believe that victorious living is when prayer is strategic. Victorious prayer is strategic. We've got to realize that there's a method here, and Jesus is giving us, here's the strategy you need to employ when it comes to prayer. The first thing is prayer is a preemptive weapon. Preemptive weapon. Jesus instructed his disciples to what? Watch and pray, lest they give in to temptation. They were to pray and find strength for what was coming. And you and I know that there's something coming, right? That whether it's this afternoon or tomorrow or next week or next month or sometime in our life, there's something coming. And that you and I need to be watching and praying for. Victorious prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. Too oftentimes we pray as a last resort instead of as a first response. I love this quote, unguarded hearts invite unwanted guests. When we leave our hearts unguarded in prayer, there will be some unwanted guests that show up. Three different times Jesus warned the disciples to watch, pray, get ready, but they slept. Now we know they were under a lot of emotional struggle and pain. Jesus had just given this word in the Last Supper that he was going to die on the cross and that he was going to resurrect, and they didn't understand what that meant 3 days later. And they were in deep anguish. And how many times have we been there? We've been deeply troubled, and we're struggling, and our spirit says, I need to pray. The spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak, and we fall asleep. Or worse than that, we find comfort somewhere else instead of taking our needs and concerns to God in prayer. I love this quote from Oswald Chambers, the great devotional writer. He says, it's not easy to find your way to God in a sudden crisis unless you have been in the habit of going to God about everything. A man only learns prayer when there is no calamity. Preemptive praying. Learning to pray when there isn't a great calamity. Preemptive praying. Preemptive praying, I believe, leads to victorious living. Every Friday morning, our men's prayer breakfast practices preemptive praying. We gather up in the old fellowship hall at 6:45 a.m. to do preemptive praying. We're praying primarily for this weekend. We're praying that you would show up, and you did. We're praying that God's Spirit would move in mighty ways through worship and music, and God did. We're praying that God would speak through this message, and I believe God will, and God has throughout the weekend. We're praying for Sunday school teachers and youth workers, and we're praying for all that's going on in the life of the church. That's preemptive prayer. And I would like to invite you men, if you're able to come at 6:45 a.m. on Friday mornings, every Friday morning, we meet up there to pray. And I challenge the men, to everybody to invite someone. So I'm going to get a head start and invite all of you to come. And because we want to move out of that room. We've been meeting up in that room there for probably 10, 12, 13 years. And we're ready to get some new grounds. We've got a new student room here with a cafe with really good coffee in it. And I'd like to just blow out that room up there. But we need more men who will come and pray with us for preemptive praying, praying for God's will to be done. You know, we should be praying preemptive prayers for our children. How many of you do that? You pray for your children, right? Preemptively. You're praying that as they go out into the world, that God will keep them safe. And those of us now who are grandparents, right? We pray for our grandchildren. We pray for our spouses. And if you're single, you should be praying for perhaps your future spouse. That was one of the best prayers God ever answered for me. You know, and whenever he brought Lynn into my life, thank you, Lord. You know, and I outpunted my coverage way far. It was an amazing thing that God did for me and that answer to prayer. Preemptive prayers for our calendars. Do you pray for your calendars? How many of you, unfortunately, sometimes I wake up in the morning and one of the first things I do, unfortunately, is look at my phone and see how many texts or emails or messages or the calendar. And I need to do better praying about all that before I open my phone up, right? And pray for what I'm going to see when I open my phone up, right? And see all this going on. So praying for our calendars as preemptive praying. Praying for our commitments is preemptive praying. Praying for future opportunities is preemptive praying. Just a few minutes ago, you did a preemptive prayer when you prayed the Lord's Prayer. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thy kingdom come. A preemptive prayer is to pray for thy will to be done. Exactly what Jesus prayed, right? Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Watch and pray, said Jesus, so you don't fall into temptation. Another great weapon for prayer is to be on the offensive, to be have an offensive weapon. Offensive prayer is when we make the first move. It's our first response, not our last resort. Now, there are several ways that we can pray in that way. The first is a petition prayer. It's the way that Jesus prayed. He, in the garden, he made his request known to God. And that's a petition before God. And as we make a petition to God, we always need to pray as Jesus prayed. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, some of the petitions we make to God is not what's best for us. And when we pray, Father, thy will be done. Sometimes, what's that old country song? Some of the best answered prayers are the ones that weren't unanswered, right? So just pray for God's will in the petitions. But another way, another great weapon to be on the offense is intercessory prayer. Jesus is asking his disciples to watch and to pray with him and to pray for him. Now, there's great power when you and I, you know, pray without ceasing, as the Bible says. We pray all the time. We never stop praying. We just have sentence prayers. We have a time alone with God every day, and we pray throughout the day. But I believe there's great power when we come together to pray with people. When we pray together with people, there's great power. And Jesus is saying to the disciples, here is the Son of God, who is all powerful. And he says, I want you guys to pray with me. Can you guys pray with me and pray for me? And we need to have people that we can call upon when we have a need to pray with us. And we need to be on somebody's list so we can pray with them. Intercessory prayer is when you stand in the gap. When we stand in the gap for somebody who needs a special time of prayer, who needs help, who needs mercy. But the big question for all of us is can that petition, can that intercessory prayer influence the actions of our mighty and powerful God? Does our prayers make a difference? And I believe they do. I believe that prayer makes an incredible difference. But if you and I don't believe that our prayers make a difference, we're not going to pray. Or we may pray when we get into trouble. But if we really believe that our prayers can make a difference, we pray all the time. Because we believe that God can change things. I believe with all my heart that God changes things. I see evidence all over this room that God changes people. And that God changes churches. And God changes ministries. And God changes families. And God changes loved ones. And God ministers to people. The scripture is full of accounts of men and women who interceded on behalf of God's people and God moved. John Wesley said it this way, God will do nothing on earth except an answer to believing prayer. Do nothing on earth except an answer to believing prayer. 3 weeks ago, Lynn and I had the opportunity to go to the National Prayer Breakfast. And I have to confess to you that I went there with a little bit of skepticism. You know, Washington, D.C. and prayer just didn't seem to, you know, go together for me very well. And but I went and got an invite, and I went there and was looking forward to seeing what God was doing in Washington. I've been wondering about that. Have you been wondering about that? So I get there, and it's a 2.5-day event. Starts on Wednesday, and then goes on Wednesday night, Thursday morning. It's a prayer breakfast, and then Wednesday during the day, and then Thursday breakfast, Thursday lunch, Thursday banquet. And what impressed me at the very beginning was this invite to go and pray with people from all over the country. And the two hosts stood before us and welcomed us to Washington for the prayer breakfast. And on this side, you had a liberal Democrat from Southern California. And on this side, you had a conservative Republican from Tennessee. And they stood there and welcomed us to Washington, to the National Prayer Breakfast. And they said these words, both of them said these words, our politics are miles apart. But they said unequivocally that they both believe that the only hope for America is Jesus. Amen? I'd bring you good news from Washington, D.C. The only hope for America is Jesus. 140 world leaders gathered with us as well. And several of them declared, too, that they believe the only hope for the world is Jesus. And that our congressmen and congresswomen gather together every Thursday in Washington to pray, Republicans and Democrats, to intercede on behalf of our nation. It's the only time of the week they ever get together on anything. But prayer is bringing them together. I think that's a great thing. Amen? And we need to pray for those who are bold enough to believe that. Bold enough to believe that prayer is a weapon even in Washington, D.C., as God would move there and move in our country. March 16th, our own Governor Haley will have the state prayer breakfast. And I would just ask you to pray for that event. That again, as our leaders gather from all around the state to gather in Columbia to pray for this state, that we would believe that prayer is a weapon that can make a difference here in South Carolina. You know, Jesus tells the disciples to, following his resurrection and following how they messed up, he gathered them together and taught them for 40 days after his resurrection. And then he ascended, before he ascended into heaven, he said, now I want you to go to the upper room and I want you to go there and pray. I want you to go there and pray and wait for the Holy Spirit to come to you. Again, same instructions he gave them in the garden. Wait and pray, watch and pray. And they failed. And now he gives them new instructions. I want you to go to the upper room. I want you to watch and pray, wait and pray for the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive this enormous power. And then you'll have this power to go beyond the offense, not the defense. The church is never to be on the defense. God is always on the offense. And he's marching throughout this world. And he calls us to take up our cross and follow him on offense. And they go out and then begin to preach and teach and spread the good news and fulfill the Great Commission. And you and I are here today because of their courage and because of their faith and because of the weapon of prayer. And you and I are called to do the same thing. We are called to go and proclaim on offense through prayer the power of Almighty God. You know, his Great Commission needs to be fulfilled. That today, roughly, there's 3 billion people on the planet who don't believe in Jesus. 3 billion people who don't believe in Jesus. Are you willing to intercede for them? Are you willing to pray that the Great Commission of Jesus Christ would be fulfilled? That there are probably somewhere around 300,000 people that live within driving distance of this church, which means probably 100,000 to 150,000 of them don't believe in Jesus. Will you pray a prayer of intercession on their behalf that they would come to believe in Jesus Christ? I remember 21 years ago or something like that, I was up in the in my office up in the old section on the corner of Fox Glen. My old office was right next to the sanctuary at that time, which is became the youth room and now is going to become a chapel. It was a Saturday night and I was working on a sermon. At that time, I believed that God only moved on Saturday nights, I guess. Anyway, so working on a sermon on Saturday night and praying for a sermon, praying for a message. And the Lord said to me very clearly in my thoughts, in my mind, to go into the sanctuary, that little sanctuary, and pray. As I prayed that night, God asked me to lay hands on every pew and ask him to fill those pews with people. Then he sent me to the front doors of that little church up there on the corner and to put hands on the doors and to pray that God would bring people through the doors. And I was faithful in praying that. I went on the offense and God did the rest. Amen? God has done the rest. That's why, again, our men's prayer breakfast, about once every 6 weeks or so, we come into this room right here. And about 50 or 60 or 70 men gather spread out across our campus, and they lay hands on the doors and they lay hands on the pews and they ask God to fill them. And he does, over and over and over again. You see, we need to be willing to go on the offense to have this place filled so that the victories the people can experience through a relationship with Almighty God. There's another type of prayer called warfare prayer. It's when we go on the offense and target evil strongholds. In Jesus' name. You know, right now in this community and in this state and in certainly in our country, in this world, there are evil strongholds. And you and I, in the name of Jesus Christ, need to go on mission. And we need to target those things with prayer and cover those things with prayer and ask God to shut those things down. You know, I never forget, this is not a part of the sermon, so the team up there in the booth are going, oh, he's off track again. I never forget, I was in Myrtle Beach and my friend and I, we were leading worship at Lakewood Campground. And we had Wednesday nights. And on Thursday or Friday night, I think Friday night, there was supposed to be a concert. And it was an imitation Kiss band, right? This was 1974, 75. Remember Kiss, right? You know, all the makeup stuff. They were going to come and do a concert there. And we had started praying earlier that week that they wouldn't show up. I don't know. We just said, you know, we thought wasn't going to be good for the campground to have Kiss there, you know. So we started praying for that. And, you know, we were working on Friday night and about, you know, 7 o'clock, 7:15, the owner of the campground came to Dave and I, who played guitar and sang, not very well. Hey, the Kiss band didn't show up. Can you all go down and lead some music? Well, we hadn't figured on that part. We figured they just wouldn't show up. We didn't know we had to go replace the band. So we go down there with all these people wanting to see Kiss, right? And it's Dave and I, two guys from Kentucky, you know. Anyway, I don't think it went very well, but we told our own, we told the campground guy that, well, we're going to keep praying, they never come back. And ended up, long story short, is we started getting Friday nights. So we sang on Wednesday nights and we sang on Friday nights, and many people come to believe in Jesus because we were willing to pray against a stronghold that we thought that wasn't what God wanted for that place. And it was neat how it happened. I love this verse out of Colossians. Paul says, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In these words, in this way, say it with me, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He did that. He has already disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. We are on the winning team, and we need to go out with this weapon of prayer. We need to pray preemptively. We need to be on the offense. And then thirdly, we need to pray with, be expectant when we pray. Most of our failures result from what? The failure to pray. Most of our failures result from a failure to pray. Again, do we believe that prayer changes things? Do I believe that God wants my prayers? Absolutely. I love this, these words from Dutch Sheets. He says, as incredible as it sounds, the sovereign God made a sovereign choice to limit himself in many ways to the actions and decisions and requests of human beings. Think about that. The sovereign God made a sovereign choice to limit himself in many ways to the actions, decisions, and requests of human beings. God is wanting you to pray for him to move in mighty ways. God is wanting us as a church to pray that God would move in this place in mighty ways. God wants this church to be a prayer-driven church. He wants you to be a prayer-driven people. He wants you to invite him to be busy in your life. He's waiting for you to ask and to make a difference in your life. Again, our men's prayer breakfast has been praying expectantly for over 20 years. I shared last week with the parents' confirmation class. And we met with them and got 3 weeks with them, meet today at 4 o'clock with those parents of confirmation students. And I shared with them that our men's prayer breakfast have a standing prayer request. And that standing prayer request is confirmation. We've been praying for confirmation for 20 years. I told the parents last week, we've been praying for your kids before some of you even got married. Before your kids were even a thought. We've been praying for 20 years for your kids who are now 13 and 14 years old. And God has answered that prayer. And 120 plus of them have shown up to go through confirmation. See, that's praying with an expectancy that God is going to move in a great way. I shared with the coffee with the pastor earlier this morning with new families visiting our church that this church prayed expectantly that if we built this sanctuary, that God would fill it up. And trust me, that first morning I walked in here for the first time in it, it wasn't very full. And I walk over in that building over and go, oh, goodness gracious, it's a big building, but I'm believing that God's going to fill it up. See, we need to pray with expectancy that God is going to work in powerful ways. Praying with expectancy. You know, when Moses led the people out of bondage, out of slavery in Egypt, and they're on this journey to the promised land, and the Egyptian army is pursuing them, and they run right into the Red Sea. And there is the Red Sea, and here comes the Egyptian army. You know, Moses really had three choices. Choice number one, he could lead the people into the Red Sea and they could all drown. Choice number two, he could turn and face and fight the Egyptian army and they could all die. Or thirdly, he could surrender and they could all go back to Egypt and be slaves. But what does Moses do? Moses prays. And prays to God, God, you let us out of there. Surely you're not going to let us die right here at the Red Sea. And after praying, Moses lifts up a stick and God parts the Red Sea. God parts the Red Sea. You know, what I learned from that is that the right tool in the right hands at the right time changes things. The right tool in the right hand at the right time changes things. That's expectant prayer. Are you willing to put your life into God's hands at this time and let him do the right thing in your life? I believe that's what prayer is. 2 Corinthians, Paul says this, we are humans, but we don't wage war as humans do. We know that, right? We don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons. God's mighty weapons. Not worldly weapons to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Again, I was blessed to be in Washington on that Thursday morning to join in prayer with 4,000 people in the room praying all across America that not with worldly weapons, but with spiritual weapons to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and the powers and the evil powers of this world. Now, one final thing about prayer as a weapon, it must be persistent. It must be persistent. Mark 14, then Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before. Jesus left them and prayed the same prayer as before. How many of you have done that? You prayed the same prayer over and over and over and over. The same prayer over and over and over. So did Jesus. He prayed the same prayer over. In fact, he prayed three times this time for the cup to pass. And what happened? The cup didn't pass. He then said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Let me put this great statement up here. Prayer may not always deliver us from suffering, but it will always deliver us through suffering. See, Jesus was delivered through the suffering. I really believe that when he prayed and sweated drops of blood and anguished over this decision to go to the cross, when he stood up, he was at peace. And he knew that his Father was going to be with him, and no matter what he had to face, that God was going to walk with him. He was going to be with him all the way through. Do you believe that this morning? No matter what you face, that God is going to be with you. As you pray to him and ask God, be with me, he'll be with you. You know, we need to be persistent in our prayers. Persistence in prayers changes us. Persistence in prayers will change perhaps what we thought was the right answer to receiving God's answer. We don't always have the right answers, but God always has the right answers by being persistent in prayer. Aren't you glad that God is persistent? How many of you know that you're here today only because God was persistent? That God did not give up on you. He kept pursuing you. He kept pursuing me. He never lets go of us. We need to be persistent in our prayers, and God will never let go of us. You know, as we concluded the... one of the keynote speakers, as we conclude this morning, one of the keynote speakers at the National Prayer Breakfast was Roma Downey and Mark Burnett. Roma Downey, as you may remember, was played in Touched by an Angel. And her husband did the Bible series that was shown all over the world. And then they shared how prayer had covered that whole project and how God had moved in mighty ways in every part of that production. As they filmed this series on the Bible in Morocco, how they had to hire a snake handler who would come in and wrestle snakes and scorpions. In every location there was a snake, maybe one snake and a couple of scorpions. Every location. As they got ready to film Golgotha, the crucifixion of Jesus, Roma Downey says she felt this burden that it was going to be really hard. It was going to be really difficult. The most difficult shoot of the entire series. And so she sent out an email prayer request to thousands of people to pray for this day. On this day, we're filming the crucifixion of Jesus. Pray for us. On that day, the snake handler wrestled 38 snakes. Wrangled, I guess is the right word, wrangled, whatever, captured 38 snakes. She said, we didn't miss the meaning of that. That we knew that we were going against evil powers. And God was going to have his way through prayer. And that series, as we know, was a great, great impact. Today, I want you to believe that prayer will make a difference in your life. Prayer has made a difference in this church in amazing ways. I want to invite you over the next 7 days to have specific prayer targets. In your bulletin, there are these targets that we've written up. And then I'm going to go through them very quickly. Day one is pray for God's protection for your family. On day two, pray for protection for our schools. Day three, pray for protection for this church. I would ask you to pray for Bible school workers. I would ask you to pray for leaders. I would ask you to pray for prayer ushers, people that come to the front of the church that pray for people and pray with people. I would ask you to pray for persecuted Christians around the world. Pray for those who are within driving distance of this church who don't know Jesus. Pray for the people that God is going to bring to this place in the months and years ahead. Pray for law enforcement. Pray for their effectiveness and protection. Pray against those strongholds. On day six, pray for our military and men and women serving in harm's way. And day seven, pray for elected officials. Pray for the elected officials in our city, our state, our nation. Pray for honesty. Pray for wisdom. Pray for justice. Pray for Governor Haley, one of our members here. Pray for Brad Pitts and Brent Powers, who serve on the school board, members here. Pray for Ed McDowell, who serves on the city council. Would we pray targeted prayers against strongholds in our world? Pray for protection. Pray for blessing. Pray for guidance. Amen? We are a prayer-driven church. The only way that we're a prayer-driven church is if you're a prayer-driven people. If you're not prayer-driven people, we're not a prayer-driven church. It takes all of us to be prayer-driven. We're going to sing a closing song. It's one of my favorites, In the Garden, as Jack comes and leads us in this song. I would ask us to prepare our hearts. And maybe today you need to come to this altar because you've got a burden. Maybe you're fighting a battle and you want someone to pray with you. Maybe you want to just come here and join me in praying for someone you've been praying for. Maybe several people you're praying for right now. Persistent prayers. Jesus said to what? Watch and pray, lest you give in to temptation. Gracious God, move in us today in mighty ways. Thank you for all the answers to prayer, but thank you for the answers that are yet to come. And thank you that somebody in this room today is going to be an answer to prayer. You're going to use somebody to be somebody's answer to prayer. And somebody's prayer today in this room is going to be answered. They've been praying for a long time. And I pray that in the strong name of Jesus Christ, who gives us victory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.